This evening we read God's word in Psalm 104, starting at verse 24. You can find this in your pew Bibles on page 588. So Psalm 104, starting at verse 24. The sermon will focus especially on verses 27 through 30, but we will read from 24 to the end. Hear the word of God. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my Lord as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Dear congregation and our Lord Jesus Christ, before the risen Lord ascended to heaven, he had instructed his disciples to stay behind in Jerusalem and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. We celebrate this today on Pentecost. And in light of this celebration, I want to meditate with you on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've chosen a verse from the Old Testament. And during Old Testament times, the people of God knew little about the Holy Spirit. But even then, God revealed some beautiful truths about his Spirit. So today we will focus especially on this beautiful passage from Psalm 104, which describes the Spirit's work as follows: when you send your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. This verse and its context show how God sends his Spirit to renew all life. God sends his Spirit to renew all life. And we will see two aspects of that. First, he renews life in the world. And second, he renews life in the church. Let me start with a question. Where in the Bible do we first hear about the Holy Spirit? Is that maybe when God made a covenant with Abraham? Or is it earlier, time of Noah? Or maybe even when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden? No, we hear about the Holy Spirit right at the beginning of the history of the world. The story about the creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was on the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now we often think about God the Father as the Creator. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Apostles' Creed says it, right? I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. But when our triune God works, all three persons work together. Not only is the Father creator, but the Son and the Holy Spirit were also actively involved in that work of creation. Now, theologians have tried to put in words the different roles of those three persons, the Father, Son, and the Spirit in creation. Here's how Herman Bavinck put it. The Father is the first cause of the creation, the one who takes the initiative. The Son is the personal wisdom, the Logos, through whom all things are created. Everything rests and holds together in Him and is created for Him. And the Holy Spirit is the personal immanent cause through whom all things live and move and have their being, receive their form and existence, and are led to their destination. Well, like other language of theologians, this is not the easiest language to understand. I just want to point out one word here. When we say that the Holy Spirit is immanent, we mean that He is present everywhere, present in the created world. God's work of creation was not some kind of hands-off affair. He inserted Himself in all that He had made in the most intimate, personal way possible. Through His Holy Spirit, God filled the newly created world with His majesty, His power, His wisdom, His beauty, His own life. And that's the Holy Spirit. Psalm 104 talks about this in much detail. In the first verses of the psalm, which we did not read, we hear how God creates the earth while He Himself is roaming through the sky on a chariot of clouds, on the wings of the wind, and in flaming fire. Wind and fire. They signal the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then the psalm continues to list the many facets of creation. The waters, the mountains, the sun, the moon, the plants, the animals. Read it at home sometime, and you will see that this psalm roughly follows the order of the 6 days of creation. Now, and then after this survey of creation, in verse 24, the psalmist responds with praise to the Creator. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. With the psalmist, we marvel at how manifold God's work is, how full the earth is. Here we learn something very important and beautiful about God and His Holy Spirit, how abundant and generous He is. The Lord did not design this work minimally, like some modern furniture without any frills. He did not design it like some modern appliances that are just a box with one or two necessary dials. The Lord's creativity is colorful and varied. There are so many different kinds of rocks, so many different animals, and even so many different stars once you study that. You need to study only a little bit of biology or geology or other sciences to be impressed by the abundance of God's work. And that, brothers and sisters, is characteristic of the Holy Spirit. His work is overflowing, generous, abundant, colorful. And verse 26 even mentions that great sea monster, Leviathan. Now, whatever animal that may be or have been, we are not quite sure, know that God created it to frolic in the sea. Or, as another possible translation has it, God created Leviathan to play with. And the Holy Spirit, we may say, reverently, is then even playful in His creative work. Now, the Holy Spirit was not only present and active when God created the world in 6 days. He has been present and active ever since. Psalm 104 does not so much focus on those 6 days of creation, but especially on the world as it continues to turn. Do you remember past winter? Just a few months ago, there was still snow on the ground. Trees were bare, no flowers were growing. The birds and other animals were hiding to stay warm. Some of them are hibernating. In the winter, much of nature is dead or at the brink of death. But then, as the days start to grow longer, as the sun rises higher in the sky, spring came. And now we see buds and blossoms and grass. The birds are singing and the animals frolic. Farmers have sown their fields and are waiting for crops to grow up. New life. And this happens every year. Now maybe that's the reason why we don't even think much about it. We are used to it. But this is a miracle of the Holy Spirit. It's a divine miracle. We see God's Spirit at work as he creates new life over and over. Our psalm makes clear how important that is. Suppose there was no spring. No new growth, no crops. What would happen? Well, gradually everything would die. All these creatures, great and small, depend on God's care. Every day, God must provide their food. Every year, he must give new plants to grow up. Every day, he must raise his sun into the sky to provide the energy to plants so they can grow their leaves to feed animals and people. Listen to the poetry of our text, verse 27 through 29. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. But when you hide your face, they are terrified. And when you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. See, especially this last verse brings out a negative aspect. Death and decay are so common in our fallen world. Even the most beautiful creatures are subject to the curse of death. And the only way for anything to stay alive is when God turns his attention toward it. His face must shine on it. He must smile at it, as it were, when he sustains the life processes of his creatures. And this divine activity of sustaining life and reviving life and procreating life is particularly the work of the Holy Spirit. This is brought out in verse 30. When you send your Spirit, they are created and you renew the face of the ground. The word says send forth suggests that the Spirit is not working randomly. He is not an unguided force. But he works as an agent of God with a specific task. When the trees bud and the crops start growing and young animals are born, it is the deliberate work of the Holy Spirit. Now the Hebrew word for spirit also means breath or wind. And therefore we can also think of this sending of the Holy Spirit as God, as it were, blowing, breathing over the surface of the earth, recreating everything and filling it with life. And now think of the way in which God created man. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Our very breath derives from the Spirit, the breath of God. And when he stops breathing in us, as it were, we die and return to dust. Our lives are bound up with God's presence with us. Now, Paul brought this out well when he spoke to the Athenians on Mars Hill in Acts 17. He said, "In him we live and move and have our being." Just as a fish must always remain in the water to stay alive, so we must always remain immersed in that life-bringing power of the Holy Spirit. Do you see how profoundly we depend on the continuing work of the Holy Spirit? What theologians call providence, that work of God by which he sustains and governs all that he has created, is also the work of the triune God. And Psalm 104 brings out that the Holy Spirit has a very special role in this providential care. This is something that's easy to forget. The world around us does not see the Spirit at work. Most scientists see a role that just happens to be there, running on its own. And even many Christians tend to think of the world as something that God made once upon a time, and that's now running on its own, evolving according to the laws of nature. Now, especially those of you who study natural science, maybe in school, television programs, books, I would encourage you to think about this. Laws of nature are not some kind of independent rules, but behind them and in them and through them, God is at work in everything through his creating and recreating spirit. If the spirit would stop this work, if only for a second, the universe could not continue to exist. Not a single atom would stay together. So we have seen that the Holy Spirit is creator and recreator in the realm of nature, displaying the majestic power and abundance of God. But this is only part of his work. See, at Pentecost, we do not celebrate the new life of spring, even though that is part of the work of the Spirit. What we celebrate at Pentecost is a much more powerful, profound, and miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. And that's our second point. God sends his Spirit to renew life in the church. See, many people have the breath of life in their nostrils, yet they are not fully alive. Their existence is, for now, sustained by God's Spirit. But ultimately, they are spiritually dead. Because of their evil inclinations and sinful actions, their lives fail to come to fruition. As sons of Adam and daughters of Eve, this is also our natural state. Paul uses strong language when he describes this in Ephesians 2. As for you, you were dead in trespasses and sins. But the Holy Spirit creates new life in people who are spiritually dead. God gave us a profound picture of that in Ezekiel 37, that well-known vision the prophet saw where God brought him into a desert full of skeletons. And that symbolized the spiritual deadness of Israel. But then the Lord told him to speak to the bones, and the bones grew flesh and received breath, and they became living people. Then the Lord told Ezekiel that in the same way, he would revive the spiritually dead people of Israel and give them his holy breath, that is, his Holy Spirit. And here's what God says, "Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live." If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are spiritually alive, then this prophecy has been fulfilled in your life. The Holy Spirit has personally given you a fullness of life that you never had before. This is not a small thing. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." A new creation. The same Spirit of God that at the beginning of time hovered over the waters and that created out of nothing the sky and the sea, and the stars, the trees, the fish, the birds, and the elephants. That same Spirit created spiritual life within you. The canons of Dort say it beautifully in this way, talking about the work of regeneration. It is an entirely supernatural work, one that is at the same time most powerful and most pleasing, a marvelous, hidden, an inexpressible work, which is not less than or inferior to that of creating or of raising the dead. Now, Psalm 104 does not talk directly about this. The saints in the Old Testament, even the inspired composer of the Psalms, did not know about regeneration what we know today. And still, I think the Psalm makes this connection when it continues in verse 33. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. You see, in the psalmist's praise, we see the fruit of the Holy Spirit. For only the regenerated persons who are now a new creation of the Holy Spirit will turn to the Lord to praise him. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being, because my new life in Jesus Christ is all about his praise. If you are a spiritual new creation, then the Holy Spirit not only sustains your physical life, but he also directs and fills your heart and soul. He fills you with love to God and directs you to praise him. Then you have found your proper place in the order of creation. All things are made for the glory of God. And man, as the crown of creation, with his ability to think God's thoughts after him, is called to glorify him most of all. Brothers and sisters, we who have this new life often still fall short of God's glory. We are not as worshipful as we ought to be. We can sit through one Sunday worship services and even through Easter and Pentecost celebrations being uninterested, bored, distracted, you name it. Pray to the Lord that he may strengthen our new life, that his Spirit may take our lives and direct them more and more toward praise. The Holy Spirit does not just support and guide individual Christians, though. Rather, he supports and guides the church, the community of believers. And in that community, his work is too powerful and generous. The same Spirit that gives abundant life to plants and animals and peoples, whose beauty can be seen in forests, on beaches, and in canyons, that Spirit gives abundant life to the community of faith, also here at Linwood URC. And just as the created order needs the Spirit to live, so the church is dependent on the Spirit. We look to God to give us spiritual food in due season. When he gives it and opens his hand, the church is filled with holiness and joy. When God hides his face, the church withers. When he removes his breath, the church dies and sinks back into the world. But when God sends forth his Spirit to fill the church and to inspire her, then she is created and she grows in holiness and zeal and worship and yes, even in numbers. And just as the Spirit renews the face of the earth, he revives the life of the church. This work of the Holy Spirit does not usually come in fire and wind. Just as in creation, the Spirit usually works according to the laws of nature, so in the church, the Spirit works through simple, familiar things. He works when we sing, when we pray to God. He works when we listen to a sermon, when we use the water of baptism or the bread and the wine of communion. He works in catechism classes and Bible studies and consistory rooms. The Spirit works when we drink coffee together after church or gather for a potluck. He works when we visit one another and encourage one another. The Holy Spirit works in the church through all believers and their talents. And he also works through special offices and special spiritual gifts. And in all this, the The Holy Spirit always points us to Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. Because the Holy Spirit is Christ's Spirit. Through His Spirit, Christ is among us. Even if there were only two or three of us gathered in His name. Jesus told His disciples, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." And therefore, when the Holy Spirit fills the church, we hear the life-bringing words of our Lord Himself. When the Holy Spirit teaches the church community, we see the Christian life grow like a rich harvest of beautiful fruits. Love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Brothers and sisters, the church does not always look like that. We are not ideal. We only need to look in the mirror to realize that we need more love, more joy, more peace. We need more patience and long-suffering and goodness. We need more faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. The church is not perfect because its saints are still sinners. The Holy Spirit is at work among us, but He still has so much work to do. Pray for growth and revival where it is needed. Listen to the words of our Lord and faithfully show love to God and to one another. And even in that praying, you are not alone. In Romans 8, Paul tells us that as long as we live with the curse of sin, the creation groans and the believers groan and the Holy Spirit groans too, as we all look with eager anticipation to the final redemption. And there's great comfort in the fact that the Holy Spirit prays for us in an unspeakable way. We often do not know what to pray, but He prays the perfect prayer according to the will of God. And one day, that work of the Holy Spirit will come to its completion. Then the kingdom of the Lord Jesus will be revealed in its full glory, and He will be all in all. Even this Old Testament song, Psalm 104, gives us a glimpse of that. Verse 35 says, "But may sinners vanish from the earth, and the wicked be no more. For when the creating and recreating work of the Spirit is complete, all unrepentant sinners will be removed. But all those who believe in Jesus Christ will be free of sin." And then we will see the final fulfillment of this prophecy of Isaiah 32. Then the Spirit will be poured upon us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field. And the fertile field seems like a forest. Justice will dwell in the desert, and righteousness live in the fertile field. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will dwell in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Let us pray. Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Thank you for creating in us a new heart and for pouring your Spirit out in us, for making us into one glorious body, the church, the very bride of Jesus Christ. Lord, sustain us through that Spirit of creation in our life and work of every day and in our life and works of faith. And renew us more and more into the image of your beloved Son, Jesus. Amen.